This is the Weekly Scramble, a place where we chat about life over a cold one or two. It's time to belly up to the pod with Mike Fratelloni and your host, Chris Reavers.
Yes, that's right. It's time for the Weekly Scramble, and my name is Chris Reavers. And by my side, as he is every week, his name is Mike Fratelloni with Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores. Hello, Michael.
How you doing, Reavers?
Well, I wanted to ask you first, because we had touched on briefly before the hurricane came in, but we had a number of listeners, in all seriousness, between our show and Garage Logic, that wanted to make sure that the Fratelloni family was okay.
Yeah, everybody's okay. No one was down there, right? We're only down there during the winter, so everybody lives up here. But my family has one piece of property right on the beach, right next to Docks, right on Bonita Beach Boulevard, right before you get to Fort Myers. And the building didn't sustain a lot of damage, but the power's out. So it might as well be tossed away, because it will just mold up, and they're not thinking there's going to be power for a long time because everything's damaged. All like everything on the inside of the building is just going to have to get tossed out, and all the cabinets will have to get, because they'll just be laden with mold, right?
Because of the humidity, and is that basically just what happens?
Yep, and it was really, really interesting, and I feel so badly, because I think of all the restaurants that I went down there, down on Bonita Beach Boulevard, and a lot of people listening to this will know where I'm talking about. There's a little place called the Fish House, and it's been there forever, and it's at ground level, and I never thought to myself, well, could that just get washed away? And sure enough, it can get washed away, and sure enough, it did get washed away, and I thought, huh, and that was inland, 7-8 blocks, right? And if you're familiar with Fort Myers Beach and Bonita Beach, from Docks, which is on the ocean, all the way to Highway 41, water went all the way up to Highway 41, which sometimes could be, you know, it's a few minute drive, so I mean it's miles. And I thought, wow, that is a really, really long way. So my girls are very excited to see. I was very, very happy that my favorite spot to buy shirts and minnows, the Master Bait and Tackle Shop, is still there, because I sent a picture of it and it was all boarded up and it lived. And my girls were like, no more Master Bait and Tackle Shop, because I always get them shirts. They don't know what it means.
Yeah.
They don't get
the reference.
They don't get it. I think it's adorable when they're walking around going to church with their Master Bait and Tackle shirt. I don't know how many times I can say that, but probably not anymore.
Probably not anymore.
Okay.
Well, I'm just glad to hear that. I guess I didn't realize that. I thought some of your family was already down there.
No.
Okay,
everybody's,
well, then that's
now,
good.
Okay. I did. I have a cousin who lives in Bonita, and he's stayed. And no, they didn't lose power, but he's inland like 10 miles.
Okay.
Or 10 minutes, I should say, which is like 6 miles or, you know, 40 minutes, depending on how traffic is.
Gotcha.
And everything was fine. But there are going to be a lot of people that need to replace their houses down on Fort Myers. It's gone. It's just gone.
One of the things I was doing, because, you know, when a story like this, you start to do your homework, because I know we're going to talk about it on Garage Logic. So I just started to do, I discovered something today that I was completely unaware of. And I don't know why. I've been to Florida a million times. I don't know why I would have been unaware of this. Do you know what the largest city in Florida is?
It's not Tallahassee. It's
not Tallahassee's the capital.
I'm going to say Tampa.
That's what I thought. I thought
Orlando.
Either Tampa or Miami were the largest cities.
Is it going to be Orlando? Something dumb.
Jacksonville.
Okay.
By population, the city of Jacksonville itself is the largest, which I never would have guessed that.
No, it's no place when someone says they're going to Florida, very few people say, I'm going to Jacksonville.
Yeah, I've been there once.
Okay.
And I'll probably never go back.
Really?
I went there for the playoff game.
Oh.
When I flew in and flew out, basically. Yeah. And that city was completely not prepared for the Bills Mafia to take their city over.
No one's prepared for the Bills Mafia.
No, they're not.
Do you ever watch those videos of guys like jumping off of the RV to land on the table and then they miss the table?
How many you want to see?
Oh, my God.
On my phone.
Are they not horrible? It's like, this is not worth. I don't want to see somebody break their neck because they want to crash through a table.
And the thing is, all of that, having attended a couple of Bills Mafia tailgates in my day, all of it's self-inflicted.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these guys aren't getting thrown or getting, signing
it's
up for
choices
this.
Choices one makes. Just like choices one makes, like going to the Renaissance Festival, for example.
Huh. Okay, so we're going that route.
How was it?
It was okay. You know, I mentioned this on Garage Logic yesterday, or no, Monday Night Sports Talk yesterday, that I had actually had received a few tickets from here, and my wife wanted to take the kids.
So you had an in.
And it was also my mother's birthday that previous week, and so she said, oh, it'd be so much fun to get all dressed up. And I said, I will drive, and I will wear a sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. I am not dressing up.
You aren't going to dress.
And I'm not Bah Humbug Dad. I'm okay. The furthest thing from that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just not doing that. I just want to wear a sweatshirt.
Was it you who called it nerd prom? No, was it?
Yeah, well, I didn't say prom, but okay. It is a nerd fest. There's
you know
no
what?
Doubt.
I'm going to tell you, I love it. I have a super good time there.
I didn't have a bad time. I'll
no,
put it that way.
No,
it,
there,
it was
it's
fun.
Super fun. You just walk. Yeah. I mean, it's very low maintenance when you get in.
Here's the best and the most underrated facet of the Renaissance Festival. And obviously, I'm there with my wife and my kids and my mother, so I can't really share this with them.
Okay.
But daytime cleavage is in full effect at the Renaissance
it's
Festival.
It's because the outfits that they wear.
Right.
Right? And yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Right? Yeah. I remember
and
that.
And you can get yourself a beer, and it's fine. Yeah.
I did. I have some friends that are gay, right? And they were talking about the Pickle Boys. And I said, what are the Pickle Boys? And they're like, the guys that stand next to the big barrels of pickles. In the past, they used to go out and get guys that were like dreamboats for other men.
Eye candy.
And I said, did somebody say we need to get the hottest Pickle Boys so we can get this gay group of dudes to come in
because
to tip the Pickle Boys?
Yes,
because it's all about money.
Because they'll be able to sell a pickle that cost them 8 cents for $6.
Exactly. And I thought, wow, you know, good marketing, good. And but now they're like, now all the Pickle Boys are these old guys. I'm like, just like you old farts. Maybe they're the same Pickle Boys. It's just 30 years later. Now they're the old guys.
And I shared this yesterday, but I will say this. The very first time I went to the Renaissance Festival, it was years ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember my favorite thing was the insult wall.
Yeah.
Where I'm going to give you $10 and I'm going to hurl tomatoes at this guy that's making fun of me, which is that's fantastic. But they now have the overhead thing. So you can't throw it like you would throw.
Oh, yeah.
You have to throw
sidearm.
Okay. I'm thinking, well, there's no accuracy. I'm not Dan Quisenberry.
You can't throw a sidearm pitch accurately?
Not accurately, no.
You've been playing baseball all your life.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. Because I've been throwing it one way my entire life.
Right.
So then all of a sudden you come down here.
Okay.
And then they let the kids go from 3 feet away. I'm thinking, well, I want to go up there.
No, yeah. And then the kids, do they throw out, hurl insults at the children?
Oh, yeah.
Really? So if there was a kid in a wheelchair, do you think they'd really go after him?
Well, they probably wouldn't go that far. But what my youngest wanted to do it, and he did not let up on Leland at all.
Really? Give me some, like, what did he say?
Well, in the making fun of his haircut, you know, things like that.
I mean, stuff that wasn't like nothing he could do. You know, it's things he could change. Yeah. So you would have done it. Did you do it?
Oh, yeah.
Did your wife stand next to you?
No, I made sure she stood over there.
Because if she would have stood next to you, you would have gotten hammered.
Yes, I would have.
You would have gotten hammered.
No,
it's fun.
I made sure that she was nowhere near me when I was doing this.
Because I think I wouldn't want to take a tomato to the face. I don't know how good that would feel.
He got hit a couple times, too.
Yeah. He moves a little bit.
Yeah, because there's room.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like, I can juke out of here. But was he wearing goggles?
No.
Mm-mm. Really?
A little bit of face paint, and that was about it.
I wonder, you must take one in the eye every... Okay.
I'm guessing so.
Yeah, good for him. So he's more of a man than I am.
The story I wanted to bring up with you, and I'm not sure if you're aware of said controversy, but the world of sport fishing has had quite the controversy.
I saw that video.
Within the last week. And I got to tell you, when I saw the video, I was captivated.
It's crazy.
I couldn't stop
watching
this.
You tell the story so everyone knows.
So we're heading to the state of Ohio, and it's a fishing competition in Ohio. Well, it ended in uproar after contestants were allegedly caught cheating red-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And having known a lot of fishermen and a couple of guys that have competed in said events, I wasn't shocked by this reaction whatsoever.
They were furious.
Because a lot of these guys take this very seriously. Well,
plus, prize money can be huge.
It's a career in some cases here. The Lake Erie Walleye Trail Fishing Tournament declared Chase Kaminsky and Jake Runyon winners after the final fish weigh-in, but questions were raised about the accuracy of the weight and the legitimacy of the winners. The suspicions proved to be correct when the fish were then sliced open, lead weights, and fish fillets were found to have been added to the catch, falsely increasing the weight. Quote, "We got weights in the fish," one person could be heard yelling before telling the alleged cheaters to get the bleep out of here.
Mm-hmm.
There was dramatic footage, none of which we can play because the F-bombs are going left and right.
Deservedly so. These guys are like, you know, they were holding their fish up for everybody to smile at, and they take their fish in these little baskets. Then when they pull out the weights, they were like the size of a golf ball.
Yes, they were huge.
And there was eight of them, right? Yeah. And some fish had two. I'm like, well, whoever's weighing that, wouldn't they say, well, why is this fish 2 inches smaller than that fish, but weigh 50% more?
Right.
Something's amiss,
right?
Yeah, and they're lucky they didn't get their butts handed to them.
They would have, but if I don't know which video you saw, but whoever, I'm going to guess it's some type of organizer, sure, whoever is running this event,
governing board,
basically held off people from kicking the living crap out of these guys, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, the one guy who basically was watching this happen, who was one of the guilty party, was watching this happen and basically was silent, wasn't saying anything, because I'm going to guess he knows no matter what I say, I'm cooked, and I probably have massive lawsuits that are coming behind the corner. So I'm just not going to say anything. I'm just going to stand here. And then I'm thinking, okay, he's got all of these. I'm not going to name the sponsors, because all these different sponsors on his shirt.
Yeah.
Is he then going to get sued by the Bass Pro Shops of the world?
Maybe not
and whoever
sued,
else?
But just lose his sponsorship.
Because there's one guy in the video yelling, "You got a bleeping boat! You got a boat!" And he's just going all of the various things that this guy, because they were accused then of doing this for years, and everybody in these competitions knew these guys were cheating, but they couldn't prove
it. They couldn't prove it.
Because they were never slicing open the fish.
Could you just x-ray all the fish? Just x-ray them real quick? See if they have something in them?
The brilliance behind it was they weren't just putting the weights in there. They were also then stuffing a frozen fish fillet inside the mouth to cover up the fact that there was a weight at the bottom of this fish.
So what's a bigger controversy? This or the guy who rode the bikes, Lance Armstrong? Or the Phil Niekro. What? It was Phil Niekro, right?
Yes.
The one. Okay. I mean, what is the biggest? Because this was a fairly big fish controversy.
Joe Niekro.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Phil's brother. Got it. Yeah. So, I mean, which one of those? So, Niekro kind of came out of it as a stud, just laughed it off.
That one, yeah, that was more comedic. And is it illegal? Yes. In the grand scheme of things in baseball, in my opinion, that was a guy in his mid-40s hanging on for dear life to just try to keep having a career.
But still, cheating.
I think the biggest one is still the doping scandal with Lance Armstrong, and here's why, in my opinion. This also, I think, was a big deal, but
It's fishing. Yeah.
Here's why the Lance Armstrong one still, to this day, bothers me. The level at which this became an orchestrated multi-million-dollar, multi-whatever people scheme, and then the fact that this fraud went on tour and then sued people that called him out for this. These guys, the fishing guys, they duped people out of some prize-winning money, cheated a lot of sponsors. I get all that. I'm not diminishing what they did, because that's bad. But what Armstrong did, he ended the careers of people that were completely innocent because of the whole, I'm going to sue you and go after you, because just to quote unquote proclaim his innocence. So that's why that one's always bothered me.
So out of all sports, I know we're getting into a weird territory.
Yeah, we really are. That's what we do here.
That's what we do here. I mean, is baseball to you, since you're such a baseball aficionado, does the steroid scandals, do they affect you? Do you think like, man, Barry Bonds, that's bullcrap. You went from being a normal-looking 180-pound guy to a 225-pound, head the size of a beach ball.
I will say that I was a Bonds fan until this started. In fact, even when I knew he was cheating.
Yeah.
And he was launching home runs into...
So why would you accept that?
But it's not even that I accept it. I don't know how to explain it. I think when frauds like Andy Pettit start crying on camera, I had to take it. Those are crocodile tears. Yeah. I don't believe a word you're saying, and I will root against you for the rest of time.
Yeah.
So that's how I attack the steroid guys with baseball.
I think we should let them do it.
No, see, here's why you can't do that. Because it will then seep down, and the only way that a kid that's playing Division II baseball will ever have a shot is he knows he's got a juice.
Okay, that's a valid thing, but I would like to see some... I'm going to say genetically modified freak shows. I mean, just think if you could get football players like another 4 inches taller.
Fratelloni's baseball.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that be kind of cool? Like you could have a legitimate 450-pound football player who's just rock solid instead of fat. How cool would that be?
No, I see that. That doesn't even because essentially that's what the modern game has become.
Yeah.
The modern game has become home runs, strikeouts, mm-hmm. and walks.
Yeah,
and honestly, yeah. I'm not a fan of the modern game. Yeah. I still love baseball, but I don't like the way that the modern game is played.
Listening
at all.
To Royce talk on Monday Night Sports talk about how you go to the ballpark and beers are $14.
The romance,
and
you're just
not, yeah, the romance is gone. And I think he encapsulated exactly how I feel about baseball. It just is because I would go just to be there. Just to relax. And then all of a sudden now I go get a vodka soda and it's $21 because I bought a double. And I thought, what am I doing?
Right.
What am I doing here? Why? I'm basically just going to a bar that has a baseball game at it. But then when I go out and it costs me $300 for drinks, it's not a lot of fun.
And I don't think that baseball realizes the level to which they're basically committing suicide because of that very reason. I mean, I still remember going to my very first Twins game.
You do?
Oh, God, yes. You know,
really?
And I remember going to games as a kid, and now, you know, my kids aren't going to, I mean, yeah, I still take them to a game here and a game there, but that Royce's right. That romance is just gone.
Yeah, you don't get the kids for sure, right? You might get the guys our age who say, I can afford a $15 beer, but I'm not going to do this every day.
But the romance is there, though, when they come to one of our games. And so that's how they're going to grow that love of the game of baseball is going to a town baseball game.
Yep.
Like they know every nook and cranny of our baseball stadium. It's not even if they're not in sight, I'm not even worried because I know they know exactly where they're going and they're with their buddies and they're hiding in the clay or whatever. That's just the way it is.
That's sweet. That's a beautiful Americana story.
Oh, that's well, I'm telling you, I've been telling people that that's those that don't get it. That is Americana.
Still a good value too.
Yes, 100%.
I wonder when beers are going to start getting to be $9.
It'll never happen. Never happen.
100% will happen.
We got an email from Bert based upon our conversation from last week, and I love this email and I wanted to share it with you. So we were talking about bartender brain, how, what is it, mile wide, inch deep.
Yep.
So Bert writes, boys, I too tended bar for many years. As you said, the key is to know a little bit about a lot of things, plus jokes are important. We also had a phrase, I had never heard this before, which is why I want to bring it up. We also had a phrase called nerve gassing.
Hmm.
This is when a customer, or anyone really, is giving you a real unwanted talking to and you desperately want to escape. If in passing a fellow bartender you heard NG, nerve gassing, you knew to interrupt if you could, preferably with a comical request such as asking for help unsticking the electric muddler. Good times, good money, damn near killed me. Always glad to watch the after hour street fair from the window though, Bert.
Nice.
I love that because we'd called it something. Everybody has their code word. And normally it was always, at least the place that I worked, it was always if a female bartender or a female VIP server needed
help
escaping a situation. Not even that it was overly aggressive, just that get this guy away from me.
Get away from me. I got to go do some work.
It would say, there was a certain code depending on who you were working with, where it was, I need 6 shots of blah, 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 which was a completely made up thing.
Okay.
You knew, all right, it's time to intervene on table 4 or whatever. And as a guy, that's just your job.
Sure.
You know, you got to protect the girls. Yep. That's just the number one gig, right? And so I'll never forget this. There was a gal who actually was a good friend of mine before she had started working here. And this guy was nonstop talking her ear off.
Okay.
And so we were kind of busy. So there's only so much you can do when you're busy, right? So you're in the weeds, you're doing the, and all of a sudden I remember having 13 seconds of spare time and I walked over and I said, you need me for anything, which meant, do I need to?
Yeah.
And she said, oh God, no, stay far away from me. I'm like, oh, I thought maybe you were.
Okay, wait.
And then she literally said to me, she said, Reavers, you're blowing my shot here. And I'm thinking, wait, you're the one talking to him?
Oh, you're kidding.
So the roles had been reversed.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, yeah,
me.
It was very funny. So.
Oh, that's, well, see, that you got to be careful. Sometimes you're the creep show, and sometimes you're the creep showy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I never really understood this, and maybe I always took this the wrong way, but all the girls seem to like me, and I'm thinking, oh, I still got it. And like, no. We like you because you're older, and we know you're no threat to us whatsoever. I go, okay, I guess I get that too.
Yeah, that feels real good, doesn't it? that's so sad.
Oh, you're so sweet because you're like our uncle. Awesome.
That's when you quit. Just throw your keys
to him
and
say, time for me to call it a day.
I'm sorry, I got to go volunteer for my kids' baseball team.
No, that's tonight. Last week of football, by the way, which is always bittersweet.
That seems short.
Well, youth football is, well, we have our final game on Saturday, but this is our last week.
So the young kids negotiated with the union and said, we're not playing six games because we can't handle that. We can only play four. Is that what they're doing?
Right.
Any stories of like good runs, any tackles that were shoestring tackles?
This is honestly, so it's two grades combined. So my son is in fifth and sixth grade combined. And he's never played tackle football before. So it's a lot of kids that are just learning the game in general and how to play it in general. Okay. And then kids that are coming back for their second year. So obviously the other kids are going to have an advantage.
Yeah.
But what's neat to see is the kids that really want to get better have gotten better throughout the course of the season. You know what I'm saying?
That is neat.
They're paying attention and they're trying to understand and grasp concepts and things. Because, you know, when you're playing it for the first time, football can be really complicated.
Oh, yeah.
You know, being in the right spot, blocking the right guy, whatever.
Sit with a gal and try to explain to her, wait, no, there's four downs. And no. You don't want to use that fourth down because you should punt.
Yeah.
Or you do what the Gophers do, and on your own 28, you go for it and you don't make it. And then the other team score, and you're like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What could you possibly be thinking?
And
I was infuriated by that.
There was a practice a couple weeks ago, and I try so hard not to harsh the mellow because you do want to you want them to be excited. Football's
a fun sport,
right?
Get some of that anger out.
And I remember there was one play, and I'm not going to name the kid, and he had made a great block, and he's like, Coach, I block. I go, yeah, but he's on your team. And he's like,
man.
I go, hey, but I like the hustle. I like the enthusiasm, you know, but you did a great job, but you did block your own teammate.
So in today's world, do you start out with like, okay, everyone, I want you to introduce yourselves. Give me your preferred pronouns.
And
you don't start with that?
No, there's none of that.
Really?
No.
So you just let them be boys is what you're telling me.
Well, because otherwise, you know how long we had to basically, when you're in the early stages of just learning what the kids' names are, you got to have the tape on the top of their helmet with their last name on. Otherwise, you can't keep them all straight.
No, they all look like the same 28-pound kid, probably.
So I wanted to mention the passing of Loretta Lynn. We talked about it briefly on Garage Logic, but the only reason I wanted to bring this up is how do I explain this?
First of all, I didn't know she died, so give me a moment. You just threw that Loretta Lynn died.
You didn't know she died?
Do you think I listened to or watched the news?
That's a good point.
My life is way more important than ever worrying about the news.
Well,
but Loretta Lynn died.
Do you have a Loretta Lynn memory?
No, I don't. But you tell me. I mean, I know who Loretta Lynn is, and God bless her, but I did not know
when
she
passed. When it comes to the world of celebrities, it's always who knows, right? One person can have the public persona, but then they're a completely different person in their private life. Brett Favre is chief among them, right?
I don't know why you keep crapping on Brett Favre.
Because
the guy is great.
He's a garbage human being.
Okay.
So in any event, what I always look for when somebody famous dies is you look to see how other people are reacting to said individual. And you can always tell when a quote-unquote celebrity or a star is a good person, and I'll tell you how. When someone famous dies, I say, thoughts and prayers to the family. You know, you'll see a lot of that. But when you get individual tributes, for instance, you know, I saw one from Tim McGraw talking about the amazing person that she was with a personal story. And you see a lot of them, not just
that's
one.
Sweet, yeah.
That's when you know that person was revered and beloved. Do you know? Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah. Then that's what I always kind of look
given
for.
A lot of those.
Oh, a ton.
Okay. So it's much akin to like when Rush Limbaugh passed away.
Yeah. Same exact thing.
Just said, "I'm glad he's dead." And not everybody. I didn't say that, but a whole bunch of people just blew him away.
That was a bit, I thought, revealing.
What do you think about the people like? Oh, why didn't Mar-a-Lago get blown over during the? They were praying to have Mar-a-Lago blow over.
Yeah,
that seems odd. I don't think I'd do that. That's bad karma. Are you a believer in karma?
Oh, big time.
I am too, and I don't think you do that. I think you just say, oof, this isn't good.
I'm just a big believer in karma in general.
Yeah,
you
me
know,
too.
Because, I don't want to cut that corner because that's going to end up costing me on on this end.
Yeah, you just don't know. It's all going to, you're going to even out, right? So you do something bad, it's going
to
get you.
Especially when it comes to parenting.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, I could probably get away with that right now, but boy, that's going to cost me in the long run.
You know what I'm going to do tonight? My kid has a volleyball game in Stillwater. And guess who's just not going to go? I'm just not even going to go. Two of my kids have volleyball. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just not going.
Okay.
I'm not going out to Stillwater. Stillwater's a great school. Have you ever been to the Stillwater High School?
I don't think I ever have.
It is a labyrinth. I mean, it is a maze. There's courts all over the place. It's really a beautiful school, but I don't want to drive all the way out there to watch volleyball. So I'm just, I hope they don't listen to this because their dad loves them. I love them like more than they can imagine, but I can't watch another one of your volleyball games.
How are you going to break said news to them? I mean, they're going to
I'm just not going
to
show up. I'm just going to pretend I'm more important than volleyball and say, I'm sorry, dad's working.
Aren't they getting to the age, though, too, where they're going to be, they're okay with that?
Next year, they're going to be able to drive, and then all of this changes. Then they can just drive themselves.
Oh, you two are still alive.
Yeah,
huh?
Like, hey, you need gas money? I actually went and got, I went and got some tens today. So I'm so sick of my kids coming up and saying, hey, can I have some money? And all I have is a 20. So I know what they really need to buy is like a Coke and maybe an ice cream sandwich wherever they're going, and it's going to be $6, not anything over 10.
Yeah.
So now I went and got some tens today so I can hand them a 10 and say, good luck to you.
Right.
It's like saving half the amount of money, right? Smart thinking.
You're a very smart guy.
I know. They're going to get jobs soon. I promise you they're going to get jobs. And then they'll make their own money.
All right.
Probably.
Well, but before we run here, did you see the latest with your guy, Elon Musk?
That he's going to try buy Twitter again.
Well, there is that.
Okay.
Which I don't know what to make of this, but there was a bigger portion that I wanted to get to. But give me the Mike Fratelloni quick hit on why he still wants to acquire said
platform. I don't know why he
platform.
Wants to buy Twitter. I don't know why anybody would go onto Twitter. I don't get it. I get why you do because you're in the media, and I get why other people do. I get why stars do. I don't know why any sane person would go read 144 characters of someone else's crap. I don't get it.
Okay.
That being said, it's pretty big. A lot of people, it's not as big as we thought. So I'm really surprised he's going, but what did he do? Did he do something fantastic? He did Starlink down in Florida.
Well, I'll read you the story.
Okay.
Uh-oh. The CEO of Tesla, whose popularity and influence have exploded around the world since his support for the Ukraine after Russia invaded the country.
Just Ukraine. Not the Ukraine.
Sorry.
Ukraine. I'm sorry, that's what
Ukraine.
The Russians call Ukraine.
You're right.
So when you say that, you're saying it from the Russian side. If
Ooh,
you say the Ukraine.
I don't want to do that.
Because that's a region. We think of it as a country, Ukraine.
The world's richest man has proposed a controversial peace plan to end the war that started on February 24th. Hmm. And it's already caused thousands of deaths and displaced millions. Get this.
Okay. I hadn't heard this.
The plan includes a sensitive point. Musk proposes that Ukraine recognize that its region of Crimea, annexed in 2014 by Russia, is now Russian territory. He also proposes that the country commits not to join either the European Union or NATO.
Why? Why?
Because he thinks that will end the war.
Yeah, okay, but so you just abdicated Crimea, and we're not going to join the UN? Or
this has caused a firestorm.
Really?
Yes.
But he's just waiting for someone to say, like Vlad, I call him, just to say, hey, I'll do that. We'll do that. But why, the moment a country says to you, 100% you cannot join the UN, not that I think anybody should join the UN, but as soon as one country tells another country that they can't, they should instantaneously do the opposite thing.
Right.
Right?
You're not
going to
tell me what to do.
Right. No matter what,
country.
I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And I'm a free country.
He's a really smart guy.
He is.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. And I get what he's trying to do here, but I'm also asking the question, why? And I started to think, well, he's obviously has to have some type of self-interest to want to end, unless... Okay. Okay, I do believe that he has a humanitarian heart.
Yeah, because I think he's kind of above self-interest in many cases.
But he's also not the world's richest man by accident.
Yeah, but I mean that might even put him in a spot like, I don't need, this isn't for money.
That's true.
I'm not doing this for money, right?
But he does own and operate a business that has probably, I would say, been helped by the lack of resources around the world for... petroleum-fueled vehicles?
Mm-hmm.
Would that? In fact, didn't Tesla just report that they had a great quarter?
Can I throw something at you?
Please.
This is deep.
Boy, we are probably way out over our skis.
Yeah, but
here.
This is really deep.
Okay.
What if the United States said, you know, we do have an immigration issue. We're running a little low on people. Let's take every 18 to 25-year-old Russian male and say, you're welcome to come to America. Come on in. And we hear me out.
Okay.
And we take all of their future growth right away from them, right? All of the people that Putin's putting towards this war, we say, hey, gentlemen, come over here. Right? Come to America. Then all of a sudden, Russia has a huge problem. Their workforce is gone. Their population growth is gone. I mean, it's not, and it doesn't necessarily need to be the United States that takes everybody, but we take, if you don't want to fight this war in Ukraine, we're accepting you to, if you can get across the border, you come right now and you won't be able to go back. But we'll diminish them so greatly. I know they're a big country. You'd have to take a lot of people. Few million young men, right? It's not a horrible, horrible idea. I know you.
It's very complex.
It is complex, but you could. I mean, it's the same thing that's happened to China. They're having negative growth rates, right? China
but
is going.
Isn't that government enforced?
It was, but that was one of the largest errors China ever made. Now they have a workforce that's fading away. They're not replenishing their own supply, right? And China's not the type that says, "Hey, let's get someone who doesn't." You know, isn't from China to come here. They don't do that,
no,
right?
That's not how they operate.
Everybody's Chinese in China, right? But, you know, here we're a melting pot. We can be whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
And so are a bunch of other European Union countries. And they could just say, hey, let's go ahead and take you to a country and we'll diminish the greatness potential of Russia because they just won't have the men to do it.
Hmm.
Think of that.
That's interesting.
And then think about all those guys that want to get a Russian bride in America. They'll be like, hey, there's no men in Russia now. You can buy yourself a bride, Reavers. Think of all your buddies that need a bride.
So,
that's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
It's,
I just don't see how
it's
even possible. But to go back to the Elon Musk thing,
okay,
he did post a poll on his Twitter account,
and like that.
It was widely shot down.
Really?
On both sides, by
okay.
the way. So Ukraine really did not want, strongly rejected the ideas, I guess what I'm trying to say. And then there were other people that were using words we can't use on the
okay.
show to tell with the word off after that.
Yeah, so he was just trying to put an end to this war. That's all
he
was trying to do.
I guess.
But he was giving up Crimea.
Yes.
I mean, that's you're saying, hey, you can have the, what did you think about this pipeline? Who do you think destroyed the pipeline?
Oh, I'm not really ready to put my tinfoil hat on.
I mean,
just
that's
yet.
I don't think it's America.
And it's not it those that think it was an accident, you're absolutely kidding yourself.
They had a Russian submarine within the area, right?
Right,
and it just seems dangerous.
Yes, it does, Mike, and we live in dangerous times.
Boy, we figured out a lot of stuff. We went all the way around the world, including your favorite sport. So we did it all.
Yes, we did. Thank you, sir.
Reavers, you're the best.
Please do us a favor. If you've stuck with us this long, rate and review the show wherever you happen to be listening to the Weekly Scramble. His name is Mike Fratelloni. My name is Chris Reavers. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, cheers.
For 9 years, a dangerous man terrorized women, breaking into homes and raping his victims before killing a brilliant young scientist in 1998.
The more the victims resisted, the more violent he became.
Then he suddenly stops, leaving police with a lot of clues and one unknown subject.
I'm Paul Wagner. Join me for Unknown Subject, Season 3 of WTOP's American Nightmare podcast series. Search American Nightmare Podcast on all podcast platforms today.